Det startet som en helt vanlig dag. Med de helt vanlige rutinene, den vanlige reiseruten og det vanlige stresset. Helt til ingenting var vanlig lenger.
Hvorfor ser alle på meg egentlig? Har det skjedd noe?
Noen har lagt ut bilder av deg på nettet.
Hvis du rammes av et digitalt innbrudd, er du ofte den siste som får vite om det. For sikkerhetens skyld inkluderer vi sikkerhetstjenester i våre abonnement. Bli tryggere på telenor.no/sikkerhet.
Det ble plutselig ABSU-intervju på Jernverket vekk og her. Sånn er jeg når den er syk. Jeg heter Helle Steinkløv. Hør hva Proscriptor McGovern sa på Inferno i 2012. Før intervjuet er jeg noe jeg må si. For at Jernverket skal overleve som podcast, trengs det midler. Og du kan bidra med støtte månedlig via patreon.com/jernverket eller gi en enkeltsum via VIPS nummer 567438. Beløpet er selvsagt valgfritt. All informasjon står nederst i episodebeskrivelser med lenker som fører jeg rett til kassen. Tusen takk for alle bidragene så langt. Jeg klarer ikke dette uten deg.
Yeah, I'm sitting here with a prescriptor from ABSU. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very fine. What about you?
Very good, thank you.
You came to Oslo yesterday?
Yes, that's correct. We wanted to come in a day previously to get settled in and to catch up with old camaraderie before our performance for the first time in Oslo, being the Inferno Festival, so we're here.
Yeah, so this is your first time here?
Yeah, second time in Norway, first time for the Inferno Festival and Oslo together, so should be a prosperous experience and looking forward to tonight's event.
Absolutely. ABSU has kept it going since, what was it, 1990?
91 to be exact, under the ABSU banner.
Yeah, because you had different names before that. What made you choose the ABSU name?
Technically, I am not an original member. Before the ABSU name was initially chosen in 1991, I was in previous bands with the founding members, Shaftiel and Equitant, before ABSU was the chosen name in 1991. Equitant was actually the one that originated the name, which comes from Sumerian, Mesopotamian, and Assyrian mythology for abyss or prima mobile of the underworld, and before the debut album Barathrum Vitriol was recorded, I had joined the band. So I've been in ABSU since the recording of the first album, but I did not participate on the first demo and 7-inch.
But you have been in the band ever since, and
yes,
you're the only one that still
has
left.
I'm the only original member remaining, if you want to call me original, but I classify myself as original since I have been on the first album.
Of course, and you've also made all the other albums.
Correct.
After. Yeah. What genres, musicians, and bands inspire you in your, not only in musical writing, but also in personal life?
I'm an immense fan and follower of 70s progressive music, mid to late 60s psychedelia, a lot of early to mid 80s classic traditional heavy metal and hard rock. I'm also heavily into jazz and jazz fusion. Being a drummer, it gives me great inspiration to take those percussive traits and implement them into the music of ABSU. And also, you know, extreme music as well, and also 80s thrash. So I have a very diversified taste in music, and I think it reflects on how I project my singing and drumming style in ABSU.
But you also have a special kind of interest in ancient cultures.
Correct.
Because you, you're into both Sumerian and Celtic cultures. Why do these, what's it called, ancient cultures inspire so much? Why are you into
I think it all began at the age of 12 when I started to experiment with hallucinogenic drugs. It started to open the portals of my mind and expand my mind into wanting to learn and study and indulge mythologies and history and occult sciences, basically things that do not exist in today's materialistic society. And after indulging in that, I felt like it was very, it became an important interest to explore those kind of archaic histories, mythology, occult science, and whatnot. So I think it started at a very young age for me, and it's progressed up until this very day. So I think that's how it all originated.
Because you're very serious about this, because all your albums, they belong to series.
Correct.
Is that correct? Yeah. The two first are based on the Sumerian. The three next ones upon the Celtic.
Yes.
And the next part seems to be based on, is it the magic and occult?
Yes, but it's also tied and associated back to Sumerian and Mesopotamian mythology as well. Even though the last album, this second album, and the next album, which is a part of a trilogy with the album names being so closely associated with one another, ABSU, ABZU, and APSU, even though they're not conceptual albums, however, the songs are tied in and associated with what ABSU is all about, being the prime and mobile and the abyss and the that region of the underworld, a chasm more or less. So yes, it was started with Sumerian, moved over into Celtic and ancestral territories, and now has gone back into more metaphysical occult studies and Mesopotamian Sumerian references as well.
But do you plan this years ahead, or does it just happen?
There was a lot of planning. When we composed and arranged our only conceptual album, Terra, that was released in 2001. I had basically exhausted the topic and the theme of Celtic history and mythology, and it was my plan to revert back into more ancient studies of Sumeria and Mesopotamia. So I always forecast my plans and construct them before they're actually perceived and conceived as well.
But I heard that the mythological occult metal collection, that was based on a suggestion from a fan. So you don't plan everything.
That is correct. In January of 2003, ABSU officially went on hiatus, and the other two original members of the band, Shaftiel and Equitant, decided to take a recess from the band. So I started to pursue session work with other bands, started a label, was working on various other projects, just trying to get my feet wet into other forms and regions of music. And a fellow friend by the name of Peter Tucker that resides in the United States had contacted me and said it would be a good idea to compile an anthology of all the ABSU material that does not exist on the regular studio recordings. So that particular compilation consists of live material, 7-inch demos, tracks that were featured on tribute albums, and unreleased material as well. So I think it was a good idea, and it inspired me to put out a release to hold the fans over to, you know, bring the band back into full swing. So, and actually, that particular guy, Peter Tucker, he's also the official webmaster for ABSU now. So he's almost like a secret member of the band.
Not just a fan.
Yeah, yeah. No. He's turned into more than that.
But I know that your the Terra album, it's considered one of your masterpieces. And it there was 7 or 8 years before you gave out the next album. How am I supposed to say this? How do you make an approach to make a new and even better album after such a compliment? And when there's been so many years between the albums, the expectations will be higher for both you and the people listening.
Terra was released in May of 2001, and to be honest with you, the band started to fall downhill quickly as far as the personnel and the lineup, and like I previously stated, ABSU officially went on hiatus. We did not break up, but we took a pause in January of 2003. And I thought it was a good break for the band. I was given, my initial purpose was to wait for the other two original members to take a break from the band as well. And so I waited 4 years from 2003 until 2007 to, that was the break that I had, and I waited until 2007. So I contacted those two original members and told them that I wanted to resurrect Absu again and to make it permanent. And I received responses from them. They both were not interested. So I told them that I was going to carry on the Absu torch with new members. So I contacted longtime comrades, Atheris and Zawikasis, and basically we compiled the songs for the self-titled album, which was released in 2009. And to be honest with you, ever since the band has been resurrected, Absu is at its most paramount yet strongest point in the band's history of 21 years. So it's a very prosperous, optimistic feeling.
Sounds good. You needed that break.
Yes, it was long overdue and well deserved. Because with the original lineup, we were childhood friends and we were together so much. And I think we all got burned out on one another musically and personally. So it was a good break. And to be honest with you, I'm actually, very good friends with those original members now. And I think if the band would have continued with the original lineup, the band would have simply exploded, and it would have been a very nasty outcome at the end.
But you were in other bands in the meantime.
Correct. I was also in Malakesh as well. Participated on two albums with them, Zhen and Sphinx. And have also participated in such bands as Star Chaser Network, Equiman, Thorn. I've played drums with Judas Iscariot, played in a couple of rock bands throughout Texas, one called Roller, have my own solo project called Proscriptor, and a few other session acts as well. So I've been occupied with other bands besides Absu. But the reason why I played with other bands is because Absu didn't keep me occupied enough, didn't keep me busy enough, because I think it's very important for a musician to concentrate on one band, because I think you're going to be remembered being the musician in one band than being scattered in all these different bands and side projects. I think that a musician loses their focal point with being in other project bands, and it's always been my intention just to be Proscriptor of Absu and not some session drummer that plays with numerous bands. But that's the reason why, is because Absu was not keeping me as occupied as I wanted it to be back in the day.
Når du forestiller deg et innbrudd, så ser du for deg drama. Kaos. At noen tar på det som ditt. Invaderer det du har nærest.
Finn kort informasjon.
Det som bare du og kjæresten din vet om.
Masse private bilder. Nydelig.
Men sannheten at mens et digitalt innbrudd pågår, så merker du ingenting.
For sikkerhetens skyld inkluderer vi sikkerhetstjenester i våre abonnement. Bli tryggere på telenor.no/sikkerhet.
You injured your hand badly a few years ago, and that can be pretty difficult when you're a drummer, as
yes.
You are. How in all days can you still play this good after that injury?
Ironically speaking, I shattered my left wrist in 23 places, and the orthopedic surgeon, well, the first one that had diagnosed me, said that I would probably never be able to play drums ever again. But then I went to another surgeon that specialized in musicians and athletes, and he said, well, the cast is positioned in the wrong direction, and he put a new cast on, and I was actually healed and miraculously in 3.5 months. And ironically speaking, after the break, it's actually made me a better drummer. Just the way that I hold sticks and the execution, the approach of my drumming, it's made me a better drummer. So I'm not inspiring other fellow drummers to go out and to snap your wrist, but for me it magically worked, and everything happens for a reason.
I guess so, because I wanted to ask you if you have any tips to others who struggle to start playing again after injuries, because I myself, I have never been able to take up the thread as a synth player again after I got an inflammation in both my hands. Now it's healed, but I can't get the inspiration. Do you have any tips?
Rehabilitation as far as hand exercises are extremely important. However, you want to be careful and not overexert yourself. In other words, you don't want to overdo it and you don't want to put too much pressure, but to constantly proceed with hand exercises is the most important step for sure.
But I also hear that you're playing different instruments, not only drums, but the mellotron, ice bells, and flute. And do you really know how to play these instruments, or are you just experimenting?
No, I actually do. As a drummer behind the trap kit, I'm self-taught, but I was also in a school band for 6 years, and when I started percussion, I started out on a xylophone bell kit, which is the same structure as piano. So in order to play xylophone, you have to learn how to read piano. And then I just started to adapt the theory and aural skills of piano and adapted those to woodwind instruments and, you know, various guitar here and there. I play a little bit of everything, but, you know, drums and voice is my chief instrument, so I don't as much anymore. I would say that keyboards are probably my third instrument because I'm a huge fan of analog 70s synth sound, so I would love to incorporate that mildly in the music of Absu. So I'm a trained musician.
You've been gone schooling.
Yes.
That's no shame.
Yeah.
Are you, by the way, still managing your label, the Tarot Productions?
Yes, I am, along with another colleague of mine. And things have been rather slow since Absu has been keeping me heavily occupied for the past 4 years now. It's still going. It's not moving as strong as I'd want to, but the latest release that we had come out about a year ago is from a great Dutch band called Tyrant's Empire, which is a combination between black metal thrash and a bit of rock altogether. For fans of Very Old Impaled Nazarene, I think you'll really like this band quite a bit. Very good, and they're also working on new material for an upcoming album, which will be featured on Tarot Productions as well. So those are the only releases that's keeping us busy right now. But like I said, labels moving kind of slow just due to the busy activities of Absu. Mm-hmm.
So what will your next album be like? Which kind of style are you adapting?
For Absu?
Yeah, for Absu.
We are taking an approach that we've never taken before. My main objective with Absu is within the discography, I want each release to have a different sound, and not necessarily a different style, but a different production, a different approach, a different execution of the way the songs are composed and arranged. One thing that I can tell you about this next album, it will feature around 15 to 16 songs, which is the biggest track listing of any Absu album within the discography. So what we're doing is we're concentrating on shorter songs, but more songs at the same time.
I also heard that you contributed with a song on an Iron Maiden tribute once.
Yes, that's correct.
How was this, and how do you feel about doing cover songs?
It was pretty trendy back in the 90s. I mean, there were just tons and heaps of tribute albums that were being unleashed during that period, and if a label approached us and was going to cover the recording budget for the song, we were more than happy to do it, depending on who the band was. Of course, being Iron Maiden admirers, we said yes, but we wanted to choose a song that was an instrumental because I think it would have corroded the song if I were to, for example, sing a song that was done by Dickinson or Deano, but with extreme metal vocals. I think it would have tarnished it. So we chose the instrumental Transylvania, taken from the debut album, and felt that we were in the safety zone by covering an instrumental rather than a song sung by Dickinson or Diana, so that's why we chose an instrumental. I think it put us in a safety region.
Mm-hmm. But can you sing with a clear vocal?
I can.
You can,
yes.
But you chose not to.
I chose not to. Actually, I'm a better singer now than I was then, because I was actually taking proper singing lessons during that time, and it just wouldn't have been appropriate. I think now it would have. I have a much better singing voice, but then, no.
We're not seeing this song live this tonight?
No, no, not at all.
Well, I don't know if you have anything to add yourself, but I only have one last question before we quit.
So okay.
If you have anything, say it now.
Thank you for this interview, and it's always a pleasure to execute audio interviews like this, and thanks to all the followers of Absu and Mythological Occult Metal, and see you this year and other years to come.
Thank you. The last one is a kind of a jingle question, because the radio show wants the artists to share their greatest rock memories with the listeners. So, for example, you can mention the first record you bought, the time you met one of your biggest heroes in rock or metal, or maybe a memory with your own bands. And it has this form, like, hi, this is Proscriptor from Absu, and my greatest rock memory is, and just one sentence. You understand?
Yeah. I have...
It's difficult to just keep it one sentence.
I have several, actually, so I want to pick the best one. Let me brainstorm on this really quickly. All right, this is just one I'm just going to throw out. Hello, this is Proscriptor from Absu, and one of my greatest rock memories is actually having King Diamond sing on our 2001 album, conceptual album called Terra. And he contributed his voice on three of the tracks on the album, and it was quite an honor, because he's a huge influence on myself, but I was actually his conductor. I was able to tell him what to do and how to approach and execute his voice on the album, and we've been good friends ever since. So I have many great moments and many, many great rock memories, but that's just one in particular that's off the top of my head. So there you go.
Du har hørt et intervju med Absu fra 2012. Likte du det, kan du for eksempel høre episoden med Nekros Christos. Og siden smittesituasjonen går gærlig veien, blir det nok mer arkivmateriale neste vekk også. Hva med svenske Gehenna, for eksempel?
Ja, då det lukter jo noe som
har... Personen Gehenna har jo fått struket på fotingen av åren, kan jeg si. Fy faen, så mange dager har jeg vært oduffet på
den. Om det gikk å høre lukt, så skulle du ändå forsøke å få ut det i etter.
Det skulle bli en jævlig bra lukt.
Ja.
Om ikke du gjør det allerede, så det på tide å abonnere på Jernverket, enten via podcast-app eller jernverket.com. Du må også gjerne spre ordet og legge igjen en god anmeldelse. Og hvis du vil bidra med litt peng for at jeg skal kunne fortsette, kan du gi fast støtte via Patreon eller et engangsbeløp via Vips. Informasjonen ligger i episodebeskrivelsen. Husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook også. Der det konkurranser, diskusjoner og musikalske tips innimellom. Helle Steinkløv, det meg. Kjører på med et nytt eller gammelt hardrock-intervju hver fredag. Vi høres!
Når du forestiller deg et innbrudd, så ser du for deg drama.
Se om du finner noen passord.
Kaos. At noen tar på det som ditt. Invaderer det du har nærest.
Finn kort informasjon.
Det som bare du og kjæresten din vet om.
Masse private bilder. Nydelig.
Men sannheten at mens et digitalt innbrudd pågår, så merker du ingenting.
For sikkerhetens skyld inkluderer vi sikkerhetstjenester i våre abonnement. Bli tryggere på telenor.no/sikkerhet.